So we thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And indeed, it is good to be in the house of God, even when we have things to do, and just finding a way to be in the house of God. And that's a blessing, because anyone that comes to the house of God never goes back empty. And we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And remember, Paul has been speaking to the Corinthian church, and this Corinthian church has been plagued with many, many issues. Issues of sexual immorality. They had questions about marriage. They were concerned about, you know, those divisions in the church. Some are following Paul, some are following Apollos. Paul has been trying to address these matters. They even had a brother who was sleeping with his mother, and they were happy with his father's wife, and they were happy. And Paul gives clear guidance, clear warnings, clear instructions. And this is really a letter that is corrective. And one of the things that you'll see, he addresses things. And in, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he was already giving them, you know, there are people who are questioning his authority. Why are you, you know, the one writing to us and things like that? And he tells them, I'm an apostle. You are the seal of my apostleship. I demonstrate the works before you. And he shows them the authority they have, that he has. And towards the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he starts to tell them that you need to run in, you know, like those who are competing for a prize. You need to strive for mastery. You know, and even he gives the example of himself. Look at me. I beat my body. You know, I do not go as one who is just punching the air. I'm not just boxing in the air like shadow boxing, like I don't know what I am doing. I have a target. What is my target? That I, after I've preached to others, that I myself will not be disqualified. So Paul is very sensitive. He is very careful that he does not just preach to others and yet he himself falls. So he has committed himself to be temperate in all things. He says that those that strive for mastery, those that want to win the prize, they are temperate in all things. What is the meaning of being temperate? It means that you are moderate. You know, you don't go too much and you don't go too little, that you keep yourself at a certain pace, at a certain level of discipline, at a certain level of organization, at a certain rule of life that you have purposed in your life, that when I wake up, this is what I do. I think, I remember we were taught in church the other day, BBB, Bible before breakfast. When you wake up, Bible before breakfast, that you are focused, that you are going to read the Word of God. You are going to spend time with the Father. And these are things of discipline. These are things where you have purposed and made a decision for yourself. You know what? I'm going to be found in the house of the Lord. As long as it is within my power, I am going to be in that place where I am not, you know, just idle. I'm not just alone, but I am in the house of God. I am in the place where I am taught the word of God and where I'm encouraged. Why? Because in that moment, then we know that God is with us. God gives us the strength. God enables us and God directs our steps. So now, as he's giving them a good example of himself, now in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he now starts to give them a negative example. And these are examples of Israel and the Old Testament examples of people who did not stay faithful. And you see, this is one of the biggest concerns, that especially when you're dealing with people who have just come into Christianity, is that at times they can take Christianity for granted. They can take the grace of God for granted. They can just assume that, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, and that is it. I can live as I like. I am free to do anything that I want. But that is not the case. There is clear examples of people in the Old Testament, in the covenant of Moses, who were chosen by God, who were anointed by God, but you see, they had their issues. They lusted after Egypt. They remembered the melons, the watermelons, the cucumbers, the meat, the pots of Egypt. They remembered that. They grumbled against God. And you see, God was not happy with them and we can see. Even anointed people, think of Saul. Saul was anointed, but God rejected him, and God got to a point where he said he regretted why he anointed Saul to be king. Now let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." Now, verse 6. "Now, these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, 'The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play.' Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, or for our teaching, upon whom the end of the ages have come." Now let us break that. Now you see, in the Old Testament, remember Moses was the leader that was bringing the Israelites from Egypt, out of Egypt, first into the wilderness and then into the promised land. Now all this, they were called by God. God brought them out of Egypt with a miraculous hand. And if you can think of coming out of Egypt, is that analogy of salvation? You see, in one day, and this is what we talked about on Friday service, in one day, there was judgment on the Egyptians. Their firstborns were killed. There was the Passover. Blood was poured. Blood was shed of the lamb, or the one-year lamb or goat. That blood doorpost was put on the doorpost, and the angel of death went over, passed over every house of every believer, of every Israelite, but any house that did not have blood, he entered and killed firstborn of every human being and even of every animal. And there was great mourning. And then the Israelites ate the Passover in a hurry. They were eating with their clothes on, their belts tied, their shoes on, their staff in their hand. Whatever was not left was not eaten till morning. It was burnt. They ate bitter herbs to remind them of the suffering of Egypt. And they left. And before they left, they went to the Egyptians. They asked for their money, their wealth, and they were given everything. And you see, in salvation, that is what happens. That we come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. There is judgment on the kingdom of darkness. We receive back everything that we had lost, every blessing, every authority that is of the child of God is given back to the believer. Power over sin, power over death, power over sickness, everything, power over poverty, all these things that were lost by Adam in sin, it is returned to the believer, to the new creation. And now you become under the second Adam. You're no longer under the first Adam. Now, we are being given an example of the Old Testament. All of these guys, when they came and they were rescued by Moses, the Bible says all of them were under the cloud. They all passed under the cloud and all through the sea. Now, how were they under the cloud? Remember, there was a cloud that covered them during the day from the sun, and there was a pillar of fire that came and warmed them at night. You can think of how a desert is very cold. Now, God, in that way, was showing that they were being baptized into Moses. And that's what the Bible says. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So now this is a type of baptism, a baptism of Moses, where They were under the spiritual cover, under the same, you know, spiritual protection. And God demonstrated that. And when they went through the sea, it was a form of baptism. Now, this is something that you'll have to understand, that, you know, baptism is coming over, is being immersed, like being under the water and coming out. But there's also the baptism of going through the sea or going through the water, as the Israelites were, they went through the water. But there's also the baptism of the cloud coming upon. Now, that is what, when we speak of baptism in the Holy Spirit, we speak of the Holy Spirit coming upon. So that cloud coming upon the believer. Now, so that you just understand, when we speak of baptisms, there is even the baptism in suffering. There's a baptism in the name of the Lord. There's a baptism in the Holy Spirit. There's a baptism of John, of the forgiveness of sins. And there's also the baptism of death, you know, so there are various baptisms, but this is one of the baptisms that is highlighted here. Now, the baptism of Moses, they were all under Moses' cloud. They all went, they were baptized in the sea as they went through the Red Sea. They all ate the same spiritual food. That means that they were given manna. Remember, manna, they were asking God that they want meat, and God gave them manna. They all drank the same spiritual drink. Remember when they desired water and Moses was told, speak to the rock, strike the rock. He struck the rock. The water came. The next time he was told, speak to the rock, but he struck it. But still the rock produced water. And the Bible is telling them that that rock that they drank from was Christ. Now that is to tell you, why did even God judge Moses? Is because the first time when he was told to strike the rock, that represented the first punishment, and when Christ was put on the cross. But then when he was told, speak to the rock the second time, that means that Christ was not supposed to suffer twice. It meant that now, even us in our time, we speak to the Holy Spirit. That means that Christ was not supposed to be crucified twice. But Moses, by him striking the rock the second time, it was like subjecting Christ to another judgment. You remember, everything that is in the Old Testament is a pattern of Christ. There's an archetype of Christ that we are being shown an example. It was pointing us to Christ. These are shadows. So all these things are for our example. But you see, in as much as this guy saw miracles, that means that you can see miracles. You can live in the miraculous. You can see great deliverance. You can even prosper. You can receive money. You can receive, you know, all these riches. You can see the wonders of God. You can be baptized. They were baptized into Moses in the cloud, in the sea. They were filled. They ate spiritual food. They drank spiritual water. But you see, the Bible says, unfortunately, God was not well pleased with them. And because God was not well pleased, what happened is that their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now, why were they scattered? The Bible gives us the reasons. Number one, they lusted after things, after evil things. And we are being warned to the intent that we should not lust after evil things. That means that lust is that great desire that you're saying you're born again, but yet your heart is still after evil, still after corruption, still after stealing, still after sexual immorality. They were idolaters, and they were being told, do not become as idolaters as some of them were. How did the Israelites become idolaters? When Moses goes to the mountain, they tell Aaron, his brother, look here, we don't know what has become of this fellow. Can you lead us and make for us gods? And the same gold that they were given, they give to Aaron. And Aaron makes a golden calf and tells them, this is your god. You can see someone has just used the same ring you gave him. And then he tells you, this is your god that brought you out of Egypt. And then the Bible says the people got up to play, to drink and to commit sexual immorality. They decided to go back to Egypt. It's like you are now born again and you are deciding, no, You're lusting after the days when you used to live in immorality, in when you are a sinner. You're lusting after your old boyfriends, after your old girlfriends, and you want to go back. Now, this is what the Israelites did. They went back into idolatry. And the Bible says, as it is written, this people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play, nor let us commit sexual immorality. So Paul is very categorical, warning the church, look here, you are saved, yes, you have been washed, you are sanctified, that is what you are. Some of you are all these things in the past, but do not go back, do not lust after these things. Think of all these things that happened, and he's telling them, do not tempt Christ. As some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. And nor complained. Remember, they grumbled. They were like, ah, we had melons, we had cucumbers, we had meat, we were by pots of meat. And by grumbling, God was not happy. Yes, you're in a place, but if there's something that God always encourages us or admonishes us, do not complain. Do not complain. Do not complain. Do not ask. Keep asking why. Oh, when I used to be in this organization, things were like this. When I was here, things were like this. When I used to do this, things were like this. A spirit of complaining. The Bible tells us, do everything without complaining or grumbling, so that you may be children of your Father. Our Father desires us to always be grateful. The moment that you are not on a sick bed, the moment that you are working, you have a job, you have a family, you have children that are alive, you woke up in the morning and you breathed. You know, I always tell people, you can put an alarm clock next to a dead body. You will realize that it is not the alarm clock that woke you up. It was the hand of God. It was the grace of God that woke you up. God is saying, do not tempt Christ. Do not tempt him by the desires of the past. Do not complain as those who complain and they are destroyed by the destroyer. The Bible says, now, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition. They were written for our example. They were written for our teaching. They were written for our call, our comprehension. And then verse 12 tells us, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, and who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. God is warning us, and he's saying, look here, I know you love to just be comfortable, and it is true. We need to be assured of our faith. We need to be assured of our salvation, that we are going to heaven. But you will not cheat yourself that you're going to heaven and you're living in immorality. You're in complaining. You are tempting Christ in each and every way. He's saying, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls. You know, there's always this question, once saved, forever saved, which is true? Or is it once saved and you can lose your salvation? I always say both are correct. That means that if you are saved, you stay faithful, you stay in truth to the end, believing, living the life, being obedient to Christ, I assure you it is Christ himself that will say, my child, come into eternal throne, come into heaven. But also the reverse is true. You say you are saved, you believe, but you now go back like Judas. Or like the examples of the early of the Old Testament, they had all those experiences, the miraculous, the spiritual drink, the spiritual food. They saw Christ. They saw the hand of God. They saw God communicating to Moses face to face. But yet, they fell back, and the Bible says their bodies were scattered all through the wilderness. I tell you, we are called to stay faithful. Never take Christ back to the cross, as Moses did and struck the rock twice. Let us stay faithful. Watch ourselves and know that even when temptation comes, God is saying, any temptation that has come to you, you are not the first one to be tempted by it. No temptation has come before you that is beyond your capacity, that is not common to man. Maybe it's a problem you're going through. Tell you, I can assure you, if it is sickness, it is common to man. If it is backache, it is common to man. If it is losing a job, it is common to man. If it is struggling in marriage, it is common to man. If it is threatening of divorce, it is common to man. If it is a sick child, it is common to man. If it is, you know, a job loss or becoming bankrupt, or being cheated in, you know, being conned, it is common to man. There is no temptation that has come before you that is a new temptation, that is a unique one. If it is being tempted in sexual immorality, it is common to man. You are not the first one. But God is saying, when these things come, just know that God says you are able to bear it. In fact, the one that he has allowed to come is an indication that you can handle it. If it has not come, God is actually knowing that you cannot handle it. If you are being faced by a challenge, God knows that you can bear it. And that's why he says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. So God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to. So if you're tempted in one way, that means that God knows you are able to bear it. And how does he do it? He makes a way of escape that you are able to stand up under it. That means you can carry it. There are times where we even carry those temptations. Like maybe it's a challenge of sickness and every day you are still trusting God. God, remove it. And God is like, don't worry. I think for now you can bear it. You can hold it. But eventually when he knows that it will crush you, then he has made the way of escape and you are able to escape. Let us be warned by the examples. Today is a day of warning. Today is a day of concern, that Paul is very concerned and is telling the Corinthian church, people, don't tempt Christ. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. See the examples in the Old Testament. See how God dealt with the chosen people. Now you are that chosen people, the holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare his praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Stay in the place of your assignment and you will see the hand of God. Just watch yourself, watch your steps. So don't be too proud. Don't think that, oh, you have been standing all this time, you'll stay standing. No, we need each other. We need fellowship. We need prayer. Without it, we fall apart and we are nothing. Okay, so I'm going to stop here and I trust that God has ministered and has spoken to us. And if there's nothing to add, we're going to pray. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace, your power, your mercy, that you have kept us. You've watched over our lives. You've been our Father, you've been our all in all. You've protected, guided, and been our shield and our portion. Thank you for guiding us. You are our protector. Indeed, your word has come to challenge us, to remind us that we need to stay faithful. We should not tempt Christ, O God, but we should look unto you. We should see the examples that of men who fell on the wayside, who fell in the wilderness because they were complaining, because they were lusting after evil things, because they forgot you and they decided to do their own ways into idolatry, O God. I plead your mercies, O God. May we not fall victim to idolatry. May we not fall victim to our own complaints and all oh, temptations that are beyond us, oh God. And I thank you, Jesus, that you have assured us, oh God, that indeed if anything comes our way, oh God, we are well able to bear it, that nothing that you have allowed to come to us is beyond our capacity. And indeed, you have provided a way of escape. I thank you for your child this morning that needs to see that way of escape, that may they find it, may they see it, oh God. Your grace, your hand, your power, your protection upon them. We honor, we trust, and we depend upon you. May this day be blessed and be ordered of you, O God. Guide our steps, protect us, watch over us, and be our shield and portion. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. We pray and believe. Amen. Amen. It is good to have you, my sister. I pray that God will keep you and watch over your life. Shalom. Blessed, blessed day.